This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us, the real-life Russ Shepherd, whose story you'll see in the new movie, The Grizzlies. It's in cinemas here March 18. Russ Shepherd, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Now, The Grizzlies is going to be a lesson in Canadian history and the lives of the Inuit people for many Australian viewers. Can you describe the town of Kugluktuk and what life is like there for us?
Yeah, the town of Kugluktuk is in the North Arctic Circle here in Canada. It is right on the Arctic Ocean and situated on a historic river called the Coppermine River. The population and the people that live in the north there are traditionally either Dene, Indigenous people, or Inuit. And in Kugluktuk itself, it's primarily Inuit people. It's such a vast, beautiful country up there. Mm. And, you know, of course, has really three seasons. I guess you have a little bit of summer, but it's mostly, you know, fall and a long winter and then a beautiful spring. And it's, you know, 24-hour sun in the summer and 24-hour dark in the winter.
Wow. And what kind of lifestyles do people normally live in terms of the kind of industry that's there and what it's like growing up in the area?
Yeah, I think it's a community and an area in the north that has been really affected by a residential school process that was undertaken by the federal government in Canada, which was trying to basically get the culture out of the Indigenous peoples. And so it's led to a lot of trauma in the area. It's led to a lot of trauma within Inuit people and Indigenous people across the country. In Kugluktuk itself, you know, there's got a lot of government jobs. There is some private industry that, you know, mines and stuff that are in the area. Mm. It's a community that is really welcoming. Inuit people in general are very friendly and open.
And then you find yourself living, working there in an environment that would be very different from the one I assume that you came from. How did you end up teaching in Kugluktuk?
Yeah, I had some job offers when I was leaving school, when I was leaving university as a teacher, and one of them was this very interesting and unique offer to work in Kugluktuk, which I was a social studies teacher in Canada and knew nothing about this culture or these, you know, the Inuit people. So the uniqueness of the opportunity, the vast difference from any other offer I had really piqued my interest and led to me making kind of a gut decision. You could say, I kind of just followed what my gut said on this, and it said go north, and it ended up becoming a real life-changing opportunity.
And such an adventure to be able to go and experience a new community, be a teacher in a new space. What were your expectations going in about what that teaching job was going to be like?
You know, my expectations were pretty open. I don't think I really understood. What I wanted to do was get my feet wet as far as a teaching career. And I also wanted to be in an environment that I could enjoy. Mm. When I first arrived in the community, I think I, you know, was really looking back now, really looking, kind of blinded by how new everything was. Mm. I think I was probably a little bit more of in a protectionist mode emotionally than I needed to be, but I needed to kind of get my feet wet and make sure that I was going to be mentally healthy while I started my teaching career.
What do you mean by a protectionist mindset? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that I was just nervous. I was in a new culture. I was in a new community. It's a fly-in community. And I'm surrounded by Inuit people. I think I was very young. I was 23, so I really wasn't comfortable in my own skin. So a lot of my initial teaching issues I had with students were more based on me being overly protectionist over myself.
Right.
Not willing to laugh at myself when I do something dumb. Mm. You know, I was way too serious and way too worried about making sure that I wasn't in a bad spot mentally. And, looking back now, it was just, my own insecurities more than anything.
And it really would have been this massive culture shock. In the film, we do see you coming in as this white guy with just hopes of a new job, a new life, and wanting to contribute to the community, but also this real hesitance from the local population about how you might impact their traditions and how you may interrupt a lot of their culture. How did you begin to earn their trust, particularly as young teenage students? I don't imagine they would have given over that trust very easily.
Yeah, I think trust is earned, right? And it's earned through actions and time. And so we're talking with an area in Canada in which the white people of the South brought nothing but harm and pain. So there's an added roadblock there to earning trust. And I think I spent, significant time up there. I think after my second year, I came back, I shortened my summer holiday, which is normally 2 months. I came back after 2 weeks to really try to commit to doing some contribution to the community and to my schools, or my school that I was working in. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the types of things that start to earn trust. And then, of course, being up there over time, and then there's a mantra that I follow, and it's called, you can't fake caring. And I also think that part of, developing a trust relationship with anybody is you being able to look at them and feel in your heart that they actually care.
Right. And proving that you're different from, I guess, the other white people that have come before. It's a challenging reality to have to deal with, that you're representing a movement and a time in history that was really challenging for them. But you also see in the Grizzlies that alcoholism, domestic violence, and really sadly, the suicide rates in Kugluktuk are some of the highest in the country. During your time there, did you get a sense as to why some of those issues just keep coming up for the residents?
Yeah, I think it's directly related to the residential school trauma that happened in the North and in Canada in general, in which, kids as young as 5 years old were taken from their families by the police, taken to schools, rounded up, for lack of a better term, and taken to schools. And in those schools were, most of those schools were totally, not regulated in how they treated these people. So you had a lot of leftover. And of course, the last residential school in the North closed in 1996. Wow. So this isn't something that happened in 1850. This is something that had happened 2 years before I arrived. So for a lot of my students and a lot of their parents, mostly their parents, there's a lot of confusion. They're dealing with significant trauma. They're dealing with, a loss of former culture. They're dealing with, dealing with kids, their children now, and technology. And I mean, that is a lot to ask a generation to deal with. And I think you got this manifest of this huge problem.
And one of the solutions you saw, or opportunities to bring solution you saw, was by introducing the sport of lacrosse, which may seem like a really simple, unusual thing to use to address some of these very significant issues. Why did you feel like lacrosse was going to be the thing to help these kids?
Well, lacrosse is an Indigenous sport. It was developed in North America by the Iroquois Confederacy, by numerous, and it's been around for thousands of years. And it's called the medicine game. It's the creator's game. And it's a healing game. It's a very physical sport. It's very trying mentally and physically on a person. And once you're done playing a game of lacrosse, you really feel like you've accomplished something. And so I was really confident in the sport. And, it's funny, I was just on an interview with a two young Indigenous men from the birthplace of lacrosse.
Wow.
And they had some commentary in it. But one of the things they said is that the medicine game allows you to forget about what may be bothering you for that time period. And for a lot of kids, getting into a game of lacrosse, you don't have time to sit and worry about things. You're in a physical game. And so I think it really helped heal a lot of kids.
And it is a tough sport. In the few instances where I've ever tried lacrosse, which is less than maybe five times, it is hard. It's a real skill to actually be able to catch the ball, throw the ball, and effectively, strategize the game, I suppose, in a way that sees you win. In looking at that lens of sport as something that does bring healing, why do you think sport has that power? Is it simply because you're focusing on something else, like you say?
I think it's just, I mean, there's lots of physiological reasons, you know, that we can read about it releasing endorphins. And I also just think, you know, and I'm a firm believer in team sports, you know, not that I disagree with any other activities, but, you know, in lacrosse, you've got a team, you've got a group of people that are all have your back. You feel like you've got a little bit more strength in numbers. And, you know, there's a part in the Grizzlies in which you can see that the kids really worked hard for each other, you know, and worked in unison with each other to support each other. And I think that's a big part of a sport experience.
And the film depicts in fairly quick succession the way that you personally have to confront loss in the community of students around you. When you're walking through a season in your own life and experiencing it with a group of young people where there is so much loss of friends, of family, how did you personally get through that time and deal with the grief?
You know, I don't think I was ever prepared for that. And I would probably answer it by saying I followed the lead of a lot of my students. Mm-hmm. I really learned from them that there was a sun that came up the next day, that it, you know, there was an opportunity ahead of them, and that this was an unfortunate part of life, but that we needed to work together to move forward. It really sounds cliche, but I learned so much more from my students in the Arctic than I ever taught them, that I use to this day in my, you know, my operation and even my world as a lawyer right now.
Do you still have much connection with the players that we meet in the movie?
Oh yeah, lots. Yeah, we're very well connected. Kyle is, you know, Kyle and Miranda and Winter and a lot of those kids have become, you know, some of my best friends, and I have a very close connection to them.
It is
without
nice.
The Grizzlies, yeah. By the way, yeah. That connection was there since I left the North. It's never faltered. Mm. You know, before we knew the movie was going to be made, that connection's always been there and it always will be.
Yeah, and it's so nice. And I think that relationship that we see on screen is part of what distinguishes the Grizzlies from so many other sports movies, because it's not just about the excitement and the hope that comes from teamwork, achievement. I think it also really highlights how bridges can be built between cultures and how sport can be a healing agent for so many people. What do you think the movie's impact is going to be on the people that watch it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think your comment is exactly right. And I hope people take that out of the movie. I was at a conference with Winter, who's portrayed as Spring in the movie, and she had such a beautiful way of phrasing it. Somebody had asked the question about the race differences, and Winter said, this was about connecting at the heart. This is a human heart story. This isn't a race story or a teacher-student story. This is about a group of humans, both young and old, and you know, student and teacher and teammate and coach, that connected at the heart, had each other's backs, and really just loved each other and wanted to do good things for each other. And I just think that to me is the ultimate message here. It's I lived it. It's cliche, and I love it for that.
It's certainly a brilliant movie. Everyone needs to go see The Grizzlies. It's in cinemas here March 18. Russ, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I more than appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.